We have an upcoming presidential election, and as I said in my last episode of the Grizz podcast, I believe it's the most important presidential election I've ever seen in my lifetime. Much is at stake in this election, not only for our lives, but also for the next generation, for the future of our children and grandchildren. We, as followers of Christ, need to be well-informed and engaged in cultural and political issues in our country. We need to do what we can to make our country and communities better and safer for this generation and the one coming behind us. We, as Christ's followers, should be influencing culture and politics instead of sticking our heads in the sand. Christ commands us to be salt and light in this dark world that we live in. And my brothers, as you well know, the days are pretty dark right now. We're not called to be isolationists. As I said, we need to be well informed and engaged in cultural and political issues in our country. We need to be influencing culture and politics. And one of the ways we can do that is by voting. We're extremely blessed to actually live in a democratic country where we have the right, the privilege to vote. And every vote matters. On this episode, I'm going to share with you reason number one as to why I'm personally voting for Trump and Pence instead of Biden and Harris. I have many reasons why, but for this episode, I'll just focus on reason number one. So here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
Yo, what's up, all my brothers from other mothers around the world? Thanks so much for taking the time to tune in and listen to the Grizz Podcast. I'm recording this on Monday, September 14th, 2020. It's about 8 p.m. I'm down in the Grizz Cave, which is my office in my home basement in Huntingtown, Maryland.
I'm your huckleberry.
Wanted to mention that I now send out a weekly email to the Grizz tribe, all my brothers from other mothers around the world. It's called the Weekly Growl. Can I get a growl? That's what I'm talking about. You should sign up for that. I'll put a link in the show notes, or you can just go to thegrizzpodcast.com and a pop-up window is going to magically appear for you to sign up for that email list. Every week, I give you what I call the Grizz 321. I kind of stole it from James Clear. He puts out a weekly email where he does the 321. But I made it my own. Mine's better. Oh, not really, but it's pretty good. I give you three manly quotes from others. I give you two manly tips from me. And I give you one manly tool or weapon that I personally use. I like it, and I highly recommend it. Also, if you're interested, we have a closed Facebook group that is growing. It's called the Grizz Tribe. It's only for Christian dudes. Sorry, ladies.
Yeah.
And it's a safe place to share prayer requests, struggles, failures, victories, encouragement, humor. We love humor. We love funny stuff. Advice, questions, motivation, news, ideas, whatever. And what is shared in the group stays in this closed group, the tribe, or I'll remove you from the group. It's that simple. I get you up out of there. Because I can. Because I will. Because I'm the administrator. I'm the Grizz. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, man, I almost forgot. Dude, I finished the second season of Cobra Kai. I just like saying that. Cobra Kai.
Defeat does not exist in this dojo.
You're in for a rude awakening. It's a cruel...
Cobra Kai is about being badass.
I know how to beat Cobra Kai. I did it 30 years ago. And I can do it again.
Bring it on.
I'm addicted to it, not gonna lie. On the last episode of season 2, it was a cliffhanger, man. I'm dying. I can't wait for season 3. I can't tell y'all what happened. You got to go watch it for yourself. If you didn't grow up in the 80s, you guys are probably going to think the whole thing is cheesy and stupid. And it is a little bit cheesy and stupid, but I like it. I like some cheesy and stupid. And plus, there's nothing better to watch right now because of this dang COVID-19 drama. I'm ready for some new movies, new TV series, something good. I did see the new trailer for the new Batman movie. My son Noah is away at college going to the University of Pitt in Pittsburgh. And he just sent me, he goes, Dad, check out the new movie trailer for the new Batman that's coming out. And it looks pretty good. It looks pretty creepy, which I like creepy. Like that last Joker movie was freaking creepy. That was disturbing. But that was a good movie. That shit got movie of the year versus that one Parasite or whatever it was. I watched that Parasite one, man. It was like all subtitles and everything. That was a good movie. It was different. I liked it. But, man, it didn't hold a candle to the Joker. That's my opinion, and I'm right. But anyway, I can't believe Batman is going to be Edward from Twilight. I don't know if you guys know that. So I'm like, what the heck is going on? How can a dang vampire be the Batman? It truly is the end of the world at this point. This is the apocalypse, the last days for sure, when the vampires think that they are superheroes. The vampire thinks he's Batman. Daniel prophesied about this, and it ain't good, man. It ain't good. This is going to usher in the tribulation. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, what else is going down in the life of the Grizz? Oh, I recently had a friend ask me if I watched any basketball or football lately. My answer? Nope. I ain't doing it. You know what? I'm telling you, I'm not doing it. And I'm not telling you to do this. But for me, I'm just done with watching pro sports right now. Unless it's MMA stuff. I like MMA. Not giving that up. And I got better things to do with my time. And honestly, I guess the main thing is I'm sick to death of watching a bunch of overpaid athletes, multimillionaires whine and complain about how bad their life is and about how bad America is. And then they try to preach at me about issues that many of them, not all of them, they don't fully understand or even care to fully understand. You can have it. That's where I'm personally at. You do you. I see a lot of it causing division and hate in our country, not bringing us together for unity. I don't feel like the whole truth is coming to the table. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll dive into the meat of this episode.
Did you know that 90% of boys and 70% of girls are exposed to pornography online? Meanwhile, 71% of kids say that they're hiding internet activity from their parents. In 56% of divorce cases today, a major contributing factor is one spouse's continued use of inappropriate content online. What are you doing to protect your family online? Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability monitors how the internet is used on your family's mobile devices and their computers. Each webpage visited is rated similar to TV shows or video games, like T for teen or M for mature. This information is collected in easy-to-read reports, and as a parent, you can receive weekly reports for your kids. Plus, you can invite your friends to receive reports for your internet activity, which enables you to enjoy the benefits of accountability and protection online as well. These reports provide you with a comprehensive view of how the internet is used in your home. They include information like the videos that are watched and words typed into search engines. Are you looking for additional protection? Covenant Eyes also provides internet filtering, which blocks inappropriate content and limits the amount of time spent online. Install Covenant Eyes on all your devices, your computers, phones, and tablets. There's no extra charge, and we provide free customer support. It's that simple. Sign up today. It's your turn to protect yourself and your family online.
So go to CovenantEyes.com and sign up today. And when you do, you know what to do. Use the promo code GRIZZIN, GRIZZIN, G-R-I-Z-Z-I-N. That will allow you to use Covenant Eyes completely free for a couple weeks just to see if it's a good fit for you and your family. I use Covenant Eyes on all my devices, my MacBook Pro, my iPhone, my iPad. I need it. And I won't go back to doing life without it because too much is at stake. Dude, I'm not just saying that. I need it, man. All right? The Grizz gets tempted, you know what I'm saying? It'd be pulling at me. And Covenant Eyes really does help. I don't know if you guys can hear it, man, but I'm recording down the basement, the Grizz Cave, and my wife is upstairs above me. She's on the phone, got whoever's on the phone on speaker. She's talking all loud. I try to tell her, like, yo, you need to be quiet. And she's like, who are you talking to? I was like, oh, my bad. Sorry. So if you hear her in the background, welcome to my world, man. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So, yes, here we go. Here we go. We're diving in. I'm personally voting for Trump and Pence over Biden and Harris. And I want to share why. I have very good reasons. I'm only going to cover one of them on this episode because I really try my best to unpack this as best I can. And listen, guys, you got to decide for yourself who you're going to vote for. If you choose to vote differently than the Grizz, that's your right. That's your prerogative. Welcome to America. I'm cool with it. I don't hate you or dislike you. Hopefully we can peacefully agree to disagree. I have no desire to argue or debate with you. You can go somewhere else with that. I don't mind having a calm, intelligent conversation regarding political issues, but anything beyond that, and I'm out. I read a really good quote today by a man I have just discovered, and I am growing to really like him and respect him. His name is Thomas Sowell. He said, listen to this quote, one of the painful signs of years of dumbed down education is how many people are unable to make a coherent argument. They can vent their emotions, question other people's motives, make bold assertions, repeat slogans, anything except reason. End quote. That is so true in America in 2020, and we need to be different, my brothers from other mothers. We got to be different. So yes, I am personally voting for Trump, and believe me, I know that Trump has major flaws. And yes, at times, he's been quite embarrassing and frustrating. I mean, quite isn't even the word I want to use. With his words, his tweets, I don't always like him as a person. I've been outspoken about that fact. I've definitely disagreed with several things he said, he's done, he's tweeted. I feel like somebody needs to take his phone from him. Get him off Twitter. Because he's not thinking many times before he speaks or tweets. He needs some help with that. I agree. I know. I'm also aware of his past. I'm aware of the fact that at one time he was a womanizer. I'm aware of the fact that there's a recording of him back in the day saying, yeah, you can just walk up to women. You can grab them in the beep and, you know, they don't need. Dude, listen, I don't think Trump's the Messiah. I don't expect him to be the Messiah. I don't think he's a good Christian. Heck, I don't even know if Trump really is a Christian. I pray for his salvation. I pray for a lot of things for him. But I start out praying for that. God, if he's really not a follower of Jesus, I pray. Oh, here comes my wife. I got to pause this. This is what I'm talking about. All right, they're going back upstairs. It was my wife. It was my daughter. It was my dog, Remy. My goodness, what in the world? It's crazy. They're actually coming down because we were scheduled to have a family devo, a little bit of time in the word and prayer, as we haven't done that in a long time. So need to take a break, need to do that. Anyway, where was I? Think I was just talking about Trump. I don't even know if he's really a Christian. I pray for a lot of things for him, but that's like the first thing I pray for him. You know, if he's not really saved, God save him, change his heart. I pray that God would give him wisdom, discernment. I pray that God would, you know, protect him and just help him to make good, right, godly decisions, just decisions. I'm sorry, my wife's yelling in the background. Again, this is reality. This is my life, real world. But here's the thing, guys. When you vote, you're not simply voting for a person. You're voting for ideologies, values, a specific plan, an agenda, a direction for our country that the president and his administration are going to pursue. That's what it comes down to. And I personally think that the ideologies, the values, the specific plan, the agenda, the direction that Trump and Pence will pursue for our country, I personally think it's far better than the one that I see coming from Biden and Harris. I personally see a far better and a safer America under the leadership of Trump and Pence than I do under the leadership of Biden and Harris. And over the next several episodes of the Grizz podcast, Lord willing, I'm going to tell you why I personally believe that. I'm not just going to make some broad and vague statements like that without peeling back the lid and digging in. So for me, the first big reason why I'm personally voting for Trump and Pence over Biden and Harris is all about protecting the life of the unborn. Protecting the life of the unborn is a huge deal to me because, honestly, it's a huge deal to God. And Trump and Pence, their administration over the last 3 to 4 years have proven that they care about this issue and that they're going to do all they can to protect the lives of the unborn. Listen, guys, quote-unquote abortion, it's murder. It's murder of innocent lives. I don't know if you really get that, or maybe you've gotten just numb to that. You've heard it too many times. Abortion is the murder of innocent lives. I hate when people call the living unborn baby inside of a woman a fetus, or they call it fetal tissue. I mean, when you say that, when you say that unborn babies aren't a living human being, you're completely mocking and minimizing the pain that every single mom and dad have gone through when they've lost their child through a miscarriage. Have you ever thought about that? Because when you've lost a child to miscarriage, you grieve it like that. We lost our baby. We lost our child. And so when these abortion advocates talk about it just being a fetus or fetal tissue, you're mocking and minimizing the pain that every single mom and dad have gone through when they've lost a child through miscarriage. A quote-unquote fetus or quote-unquote fetal tissue, those are terms that are used to try and deny the life, the humanity of the unborn. Inside the mother is an innocent, living human being, who is made in the image of God and who should have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Human rights begin inside the womb of the mother. You ever notice that all those who are for abortion have already been born? And by the way, abortion, it's not health care. I'm sick of people calling abortion health care. Abortion is the complete opposite of health care. It's murder of the innocent. You know, in recent days in our country, the U.S. of A., I see and hear a whole lot of people that are outraged over unjustified murders in our country. And good, I say good, they should be if it's been fully investigated and it's a legitimate unjustified murder. But what about the innocent lives of the unborn who are murdered daily in our country? And primarily they're murdered because they are considered an inconvenience. Abortion is legalized murder in our country of innocent unborn lives, and our taxpayer dollars have even funded it. Where is the outrage for the murder of these innocent lives? Are they not as important? Because they are to God. And because they are to God, they should be to us as well as Christ followers. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 says, "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." Hands that shed innocent blood. Exodus 20, verse 13 says, "You shall not murder." And then I hear people say, "Yeah, but does God really consider what's inside a mother's womb a person, or does he consider it, you know, just fetal tissue? How do we know God considers, you know, what's inside the mother's womb a real person, a life?" Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." That's a person inside the womb, and their days are already written for them. God has a plan for them. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring are a reward from him." In Luke chapter 1, verses 41 through 44, Elizabeth comes to see Mary, the mother of Jesus. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, it says that the baby inside of her, who was John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. Notice the terms the Bible used. The baby inside of her leaped in her womb. Not the fetus, not the fetal tissue, the baby. And it says, "Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.'" There you go. There you go. Did you know that in 2019, the leading cause of death in the world was abortion? Over 42 million innocent unborn lives were murdered in 2019. And since the Roe versus Wade case in 1973 that legalized abortion in the United States, over 61 million innocent unborn lives have been murdered. God sees all of this, and it breaks his heart, and it angers him. It should also break our hearts. It should anger us, and we should do all we can to end it here in America and help provide better alternatives to those who find themselves with an unwanted pregnancy. At the 2020 Republican National Convention, Dr. Dee Dee Burns, a respected Catholic physician and pro-life leader, gave a speech that I want you guys to listen to. Let me pull that up real quick. Here we go.
Good evening. I'm Sister Dee Dee Burns, and I belong to the community of the Little Workers of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary. Last 4th of July, I was honored to be one of the President's guests at his Salute to America celebration. I must confess that I recently prayed while in chapel, begging God to allow me to be a voice and instrument for human life. And now here I am, speaking at the Republican National Convention. I guess you better be careful for what you pray for. My journey to religious life was not a traditional route, if there is such a thing. In 1978, as a medical school student at Georgetown University, I joined the Army to help pay for my tuition and ended up devoting 29 years to the military, serving as a doctor and a surgeon in places like Afghanistan and Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. After much prayer and contemplation, I entered my religious order in 2002, working to serve the poor and the sick in Haiti, Sudan, Kenya, Iraq, and in Washington, D.C. Humility is at the foundation of our order, which makes it very difficult to talk about myself. But I can speak about my experience working for those fleeing war-torn and impoverished countries all around the world. Those refugees all share a common experience. They have been all marginalized, viewed as insignificant, powerless, and voiceless. And while we tend to think of the marginalized as living beyond our borders, the truth is the largest marginalized group in the world can be found here in the United States. They are the unborn. As Christians, we first met Jesus as a stirring embryo in the womb of an unwed mother and saw him born 9 months later in the poverty of the cave. It's no coincidence that Jesus stood up for what was just and was ultimately crucified because what he said wasn't politically correct or fashionable. As followers of Christ, we are called to stand up for life against the politically correct or fashionable of today. We must fight against a legislative agenda that supports and even celebrates destroying life in the womb. Keep in mind, the laws we create define how we see our humanity. And we must ask ourselves, what are we saying when we go into a womb and snuff out an innocent, powerless, voiceless life? As a physician, I can say without hesitation, life begins at conception. While what I have to say may be difficult for some to hear, I am saying it because I'm not just pro-life, I'm pro-eternal life, and I want all of us to end up in heaven together someday. Which brings me to why I'm here today. Donald Trump is the most pro-life president that this nation has ever had, defending life at all stages. His belief in the sanctity of life transcends politics. President Trump will stand up against Biden-Harris, who are the most anti-life presidential ticket ever, even supporting the horrors of late-term abortion and infanticide. Because of his courage and conviction, President Trump has earned the support of America's pro-life community. Moreover, he has a nationwide of religious standing behind him. You'll find us here with our weapon of choice, the rosary. So thank you, Mr. President. We are all praying for you.
Did you hear what she said? Donald Trump is the most pro-life president that this nation has ever had, defending life at all stages. She goes on to say that Biden and Harris are the most anti-life presidential ticket ever, even supporting the horrors of late-term abortion and infanticide. She's actually right, guys. I did the research. Those two statements are both true, and I'm going to show you. But this doesn't make Donald Trump, listen, I'm not saying this makes Donald Trump some amazing Christian. I have not forgotten the things Donald Trump has done and he said and he's tweeted. Listen, I'm realistic, guys. I'm a realist, man. I'm not up Trump's butt like some people. I don't think he's the greatest thing that, you know, God put on the planet and blah, blah, blah. I'm not making Donald Trump out to be someone he's not. I'm not covering over his flaws. He definitely has them. However, what I have to focus on is what he's doing for America. And the first thing I'm looking at is his track record on the issue of abortion. And the facts speak for themselves, whether you and I like the guy or not. Listen to another speech. Let me play this for you. It was given at the Republican National Convention by a woman named Abby Johnson. Dude, this is so powerful. Powerful. And it explains some of what Trump's administration over his term in office has actually done for the pro-life movement. Because it's like, okay, this other lady that gave the speech, Dr. Burns, you know, makes those statements that Trump is the most pro-life president this nation has ever had, and Biden and Harris are the most anti-life president ticket that we've ever had. Where are the facts? Okay, you made a big statement. Support that statement. You know, bring the pudding. You know what I'm saying? So listen to, gosh, what is her name? Abby Johnson. This is Abby Johnson. Here we go.
My name is Abby Johnson, and I spent 8 years working for Planned Parenthood, but today I am a pro-life activist. When I was in college, Planned Parenthood approached me at a volunteer fair. They talked about helping women in crisis and their commitment to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. I was convinced to volunteer and later offered a full-time job as a medical assistant before my promotion to director of the clinic. I truly believed I was helping women, but things drastically changed in 2009. In April, I was awarded Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year Award and invited to their annual gala where they present the Margaret Sanger Award, named for their founder. And Margaret Sanger was a racist who believed in eugenics. Her goal when founding Planned Parenthood was to eradicate the minority population. Today, almost 80% of Planned Parenthood abortion facilities are strategically located in minority neighborhoods. And every year, Planned Parenthood celebrates its racist roots by presenting the Margaret Sanger Award. Later in August, my supervisor assigned me a new quota to meet, an abortion quota. I was expected to sell double the abortions performed the previous year. When I pushed back, underscoring Planned Parenthood's public-facing goal of decreasing abortions, I was reprimanded and told, "Abortion is how we make our money." But the tipping point came a month later when a physician asked me to assist with an ultrasound-guided abortion. Nothing prepared me for what I saw on the screen. An unborn baby fighting back, desperate to move away from the suction. And I'll never forget what the doctor said next. "Beam me up, Scotty." The last thing I saw was a spine twirling around in the mother's womb before succumbing to the force of the suction. On October 6th, I left the clinic, looking back only to remember why I now advocate so passionately for life. I founded and currently run And Then There Were None, a nonprofit organization that's helped nearly 600 abortion workers transition out of the industry. For most people who consider themselves pro-life, abortion is abstract. They can't even conceive of the barbarity. They don't know about the products of conception room and abortion clinics, where infant corpses are pieced back together to ensure nothing remains in the mother's wombs, or that we joked and called it the pieces of children room. You see, for me, abortion is real. I know what it sounds like. I know what abortion smells like. Did you know abortion even had a smell? I've been the perpetrator to these babies, to these women. And I now support President Trump because he has done more for the unborn than any other president. During his first month in office, he banned federal funds for global health groups that promote abortion. That same year, he overturned an Obama-Biden rule that allowed government subsidy of abortion. He appointed a record number of pro-life judges, including two Supreme Court justices. And importantly, he announced a new rule protecting the rights of healthcare workers objecting to abortion, many of whom I work with every day. Life is a core tenet of who we are as Americans. And this election is a choice between two radical anti-life activists and the most pro-life president we have ever had. That's something that should compel you to action. Go door to door, make calls, talk to your neighbors and friends, and vote on November 3rd. Take action that reelects our president and do it with our very most vulnerable Americans in mind, the ones who haven't been born yet.
That's powerful stuff. I told you guys, she has a powerful testimony, man. The things that she has seen and heard are crazy. It's eye-opening. More people need to hear about it and understand what's really going on with abortion in this country. I went through and looked at just a lot of different things with the Trump administration over the last 3 to 4 years, just trying to find out, what have they really done on this issue? Is it all just a bunch of rhetoric? Are they just talking, blah, blah, blah? Are they just trying to get votes from, you know, the religious conservatives that are against abortion? And it's more than that. Guys, they have made serious strides on this important issue in our country. Back, I think it was in 2017, one thing, for instance, the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, proposed two regulations to deal with the Obamacare HHS contraceptive mandate that had for years violated conscience and religious liberty. These new regulations exempt organizations that have moral or religious objections to purchasing insurance that includes coverage of contraceptives and abortion-causing drugs and devices. So that was done October 6th, I believe it was 2017. Then on January 18th, I believe 2018, HHS announced a new conscience and religious freedom division within its Office of Civil Rights. That's OCR, Office of Civil Rights. This new division was established to enforce federal laws that protect conscience rights and religious freedom. I always mess that word up. Conscience and conscious. Okay. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about conscience. Like your conscience. All right. Sorry, I have issues, man. On September 24th, HHS terminated a $15,900 contract with Advanced Bioscience Resources to procure fetal tissue from aborted babies for research. The termination of this contract led HHS to announce an audit of all acquisitions and research involving human fetal tissues to ensure consistency with statutes and regulations. On November 7th, HHS finalized its two regulations to protect conscience and religious liberty from long-running problems with the Obamacare HHS contraceptive mandate. These two final regulations exempt organizations with either a moral or religious objection to purchasing insurance with coverage of contraceptives and abortion-causing drugs and devices. This regulation took effect on January 14th, 2019, under the Trump administration. Then on November 9th, HHS proposed a new regulation to address an abortion surcharge hidden in many plans purchased on the Obamacare exchange. This proposed regulation would enforce the requirement that abortion surcharges are to be collected separately from other insurance premiums. This requirement was not closely followed under the Obama administration, leading HHS to now more strictly enforce the separation of abortion payments from other payments. Again, all this done under the Trump administration over the last couple of years, making a difference on this issue, not just talking the talk. On January 18th, HHS notified California that its law requiring pregnancy resource centers to post notices about how to obtain an abortion violated the pro-life Weldon and Coates Snow amendments. This marks the first time that the conscience and Religious Freedom Division at HHS found a state in violation of these laws. This demonstrates the Trump administration's commitment to enforcing conscience protection and its pro-life priorities. On January 19th, at the request of 169 members of Congress and 49 senators, President Trump sent a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in which he promised to veto any legislation that weakens current pro-life federal policies and laws. This letter was a message to the new Democratic Party majority. I'm sorry, not the new Democratic Party. It's the same one. They've just gotten worse. In the House, that longstanding pro-life protections like the Hyde Amendment and safeguards protecting the conscience and rights of healthcare providers are not negotiable. So she probably tore that up too. On January 22nd, HHS announced the final rule changes governing the Title 10 Family Planning Program. Consistent with federal laws, these rule changes ensured that Title 10 clinics would be financially and physically separate from abortion facilities and would not refer patients for abortions. Since the implementation of the rule, Planned Parenthood and several pro-abortion states voluntarily decided to withdraw from the program rather than quit performing abortions or referring patients for abortions. On June 5th, after an extensive audit into fetal tissue research, the Trump administration announced a major change in the enforcement of research contracts. HHS would no longer conduct intramural internal research using tissue from aborted babies and would greatly increase the ethics rules and safeguards that govern extramural external fetal tissue research contracts. All new external contracts will be subject to a congressionally authorized ethics advisory board, making it much more difficult for fetal tissue research contracts to be awarded by the National Institute of Health. That's good stuff. It gets kind of deep. These are issues that a lot of us are not aware of. We have had this attitude like, I really don't care about those issues. Who won the game? Stop. Man up. You're a Christ follower. These are the issues that matter way more than who won the freaking game. On August 28th, the HHS OCR issued a notice of violation to the University of Vermont Medical Center for forcing a nurse to participate in an abortion despite a conscious objection. This marks the third time, conscience objection. So it bothered her conscience. Oh my goodness. I'm not going to edit this out. This is me. This marks the third time that the HHS Religious Freedom Division under President Trump has investigated a conscience complaint related to participating in or promoting abortion. On January 24th, President Trump became the first sitting president to give remarks in person. The first one to ever do this, guys, in person at the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. In his address, he stated the eternal truth that every child is a sacred gift from God and reiterated his effort to defend the dignity and sanctity of every human life. Also, on January 24th, HHS Secretary Alex Azar announced live at Family Research Council's Pro-Life Con event that HHS issued a notice of violation to California for violating the Federal Weldon Amendment by mandating all health insurers provide coverage for abortion. California's abortion coverage mandate has deprived over 28,000 residents of plans that do not cover abortion. This marks the second time that HHS has issued a notice of violation to California for violating federal conscience laws and is the fourth enforcement action taken by the HHS OCR's Conscience and Religious Freedom Division. Couple more, guys. Things I found when I was digging. On February the 4th, during his State of the Union address, President Trump called on Congress to pass legislation that would ban late-term abortions. To highlight the need for this legislation, he invited special guest Ellie Schneider, who was born at just 21 weeks gestation. On January 25th, OMB issued a statement of administration policy strongly supporting the two pro-life bills being voted on in the U.S. Senate, the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act and the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Had Congress passed these bills, the president would have signed both of them into law, but they didn't get passed. On April 3rd, the Small Business Administration, SBA, issued a FAQ document confirming that churches and religious nonprofits are eligible for assistance like the Paycheck Protection Program and the coronavirus relief legislation known as the CARES Act. These clarifying protections ensure organizations would not be discriminated against based on their religious affiliation and would not have to give up their religious freedom in order to participate in these programs. But in addition, the Trump administration used an affiliation rule to ensure that large abortion providers like Planned Parenthood would not be eligible for coronavirus relief and the CARES Act. That's powerful, man. That's taking a stand on this. We're not going to fund you for more abortions. On June 24th, President Trump issued an executive order to strengthen America's foster care and adoption system. Why do I mention that? Because we need to provide good, better alternatives for unwanted pregnancies. Things happen. I get it. I can't control it. It's always going to happen. But there needs to be better alternatives available. Among other things, this action seeks to increase partnerships with faith-based organizations to care for children and preserve families. Let me grab a sip here. On July 8th, HHS Secretary Alex Azar issued a statement celebrating the Supreme Court ruling in Little Sisters of the Poor versus Pennsylvania. The ruling upheld the Trump administration's expansion of religious freedom protections under the Affordable Care Act contraception mandate. Two more, guys, and then I'm done. I know it's a lot, but you need to hear it. On August 5th, Vice President Mike Pence gave a speech on the importance of protecting life and reaffirmed the administration's pro-life positions. He also became the first vice president to visit a pregnancy resource center. These centers are valuable lifelines that offer abortion-free services for women facing crisis pregnancies. Last one. On August 18th, the Human Fetal Tissue Research Ethics Advisory Board, which was convened as a part of President Trump's June 5th, 2019 fetal tissue research policy, issued recommendations on the ethics of fetal tissue research proposals. The board recommended against funding 13 of the 14 proposals because of the ethical concerns with how fetal tissue from aborted babies would be used. This board will continue to review any new fetal tissue research proposals applying for federal funds. Why do I go through all of that that's going on with various laws and policies and things related to abortion and the right to life and all that kind of stuff? Because I want you to see that the Trump administration with this crucial issue is not just talking the talk. Progress is being made. This is reason number one as to why me personally, Jason George, Trump is getting my vote. Trump and Pence and that administration, that agenda for our country is getting my vote over Biden and Harris. Here's what I know for sure about Biden and Harris on this issue. They treat abortion as a constitutional right. And they plan to restore all federal funding to Planned Parenthood. Therefore, late-term abortion and even infanticide. I can't vote for that. You got to decide for yourself. This is reason number one, guys. I got more to dig into, Lord willing. That's my plan, where I'm going with the Grizz podcast for the next few episodes leading up into the actual presidential election coming up in November. Thank you for taking the time to listen, to process all of this. And if you ever need to contact me, reach out to me. My email is jason@narrowtrail.com, jason@narrowtrail.com. I try to get back to everyone that emails me. It just takes me some time. And that's it, man. I want to close in prayer, and then I'm going to head upstairs and do a little reading, hang out with my wife, and then go to bed because I got to get back to work tomorrow, staying in a deck. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I pray for our nation right now, the United States of America. God, I see a mess right now. I see division. I see so much hate on both sides, Father. And I just pray that you would just bring healing to our country. God, we need to repent in so many ways. There's so many ways that we've gone wayward from what you want, from your will, from your commands, but yet we expect your blessings. And when things go wrong in our country. And when there's natural disasters, everybody wants to look at you and blame you and say, why did God let this happen? But yet we ignore you so many times, or we just mock you. We forget about you. God, I pray for the advancement of the gospel in this country. I pray that you would help all of us here in the Grizz tribe as Christian men, as followers of Christ, to be evangelistic, to not be ashamed of the gospel, to speak up and to be bold, to have the words to share the gospel with lost people when we have the opportunity. God, strengthen us to be the men that we need to be. Help us to speak up on these important issues, these political issues, to not be afraid to do that, but help us to do it in the right way in love. Oh God, help us also to be able to listen, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, God. Help us to be able to think things through, to be men that can use logic and reason, and that we dig, we study, we investigate, we know what we believe it, why we stand on these things. God, I pray for the upcoming election. God, I pray for your will to be done. God, I pray. Just work, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries, Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin', you know what I'm saying.